Well, we have spent the last 2 months unpacking Hebrews chapter 11. The Lord's been showing us just how exciting and simple it really can be to live by faith. Exciting and simple. We like to complicate it. God's Word likes to just bring it the way it is. Exciting and simple. Hebrews 11, it's been showing us how to live fearlessly and without regret. It's been helping us get outside of that bubble that we often find ourselves in just because society gets us in a bubble, our past, whatever it might be. But when we go to God's Word, it starts to push us outside of that bubble. And it takes us from just kind of talking the talk, because we're all good at listening to a bunch of sermons and then just kind of talking about it. But when we read God's Word and we look at Hebrews 11, it takes us from just talking the talk to actually walking the walk by faith. And so the series that we've been in has been simply titled, By Faith. By Faith. How many of you have been enjoying this? Come on, hands up. All right. All right. Well, here's what we're going to do. This is our last sermon of the entire series. That's good, though. It means we're moving into something else, right? It means you all got it. You're going to pass, you know, passing grades, graduation type thing, right? And before we dive into this last message, I want to put this statement back up on the screen. And we're going to say this once again, all together like we mean it, because we know that we're desperate for the Holy Spirit to help us walk in godliness and to live by faith. So, church, are you ready? All together now. Lord, teach me to live by faith. Let's say it again. Lord, teach me to live by faith. Amen. Last week was pretty exciting. Last week we celebrated the exciting truth that we overcome. Faith overcomes. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, as it says in Revelation 12, 11. We learned last week that faith makes a way for us. That faith moves obstacles. And that faith ultimately overcomes. When we live by faith, we overcome. Today, we're going to conclude Hebrews 11 with an important message. The message is faith waits. Last week, we talked about how faith overcomes. Faith pushes through. It removes those obstacles. This week, we're going to finish it all off with faith waits. I know that's why we were singing that song. It's in the waiting, right? He's in the waiting because he is. We're going to see it here this morning, right from the voice of God, from his word. So all I got to say this morning is wait for it. Wait for it. Wait for it. See, the purposes of God often develop slowly because his grand designs are never hurried. The great New England preacher Phillips Brooks was noted for his poise and his quiet manner, kind of like me, right? Poise and quiet manner, right? Quiet, maybe not. Anyway, at times, however, even Brooks, he suffered moments of frustration and irritability. One day, a friend saw him feverishly pacing the floor like a caged lion. "What's the trouble, Mr. Brooks?" he asked. "The trouble is that I'm in a hurry, but God isn't. I'm in a hurry, but God isn't. I'm in a hurry, but God isn't." And I'm going to ask for hands on this one. How many of you been there? You've been in a hurry, but God isn't. Maybe you're in a hurry right now, but God isn't in a hurry. Our role, though, is to wait. To wait. Yeah, I want it, and I want it now. But our role as followers of Jesus and as men and women of faith is to wait. To wait. We begin this message by looking back. We're going to pick up four verses that I jumped over earlier in our journey through Hebrews 11. And I know some of you, nobody said this to me, but I imagine somebody here in this church thought, he's cheating. He jumped over those four verses. He just doesn't like them. Pastor doesn't want to handle those verses because they're kind of hard and confusing. Thank you, by the way, for not coming up and sharing that with me. It shows your maturity and your trust. We're going to dive back because they fit perfectly here with the final verses of chapter 11. We're going to look back at four verses in Hebrews 11, and we're going to get the first point of today's message, and that is faith looks long-term. A faith that waits looks long-term, and we're jumping back to Hebrews 11, verse 13. God's Word said, all these people, and who are the people? It's the heroes of the faith that are identified in Hebrews 11. All these heroes of the faith, they were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. So people who say such things show that they're looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, says in verse 16, instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. When we're looking at Hebrews 11, we discover that there are two sides to the faith coin. There are two sides to the faith coin. There's the now side of the faith coin and the not yet side of the faith coin. The now and the not yet. We understand that the kingdom of God is now. Right here, right now. God's kingdom has come. Jesus even spoke that truth. We find it in several of the Gospels. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, Jesus is recorded as saying, the time has come. The time has come, Jesus said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verse 9, they record Jesus as saying, the kingdom of God is near you. And then in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 12, verse 28, Jesus makes this statement. He says, the kingdom of God has come upon you. The kingdom of God has come upon you. There is a present reality in which God's kingdom is already in force. Let me say that again. There's a present reality in which God's kingdom is already in force. It's happening. It's here. We see His kingdom all around us. The lost are saved. The sick are healed. That's the kingdom of God. Darkness is pushed back. The dead coming back to life. We saw the kingdom of God happen a week ago Thursday. The kingdom of God, the very present kingdom of God right here, right now, is Jacob Lomau, was brain dead, no activity. And hours later, he's alive. That's the kingdom of God that's come very near to that man, from death to life. The kingdom of God is already in force right now on this earth. However, the kingdom of God is still coming. The now and the not yet. Hebrews 2, verse 8 says, yet at present we do not see everything subject to Him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor, because He suffered death, so that by the grace of God, He might taste death for everyone. Check this out. In this passage, we have the now of the kingdom. We see Jesus crowned with glory. That's the now of the kingdom of God, crowned with glory. Jesus, the Messiah, crowned with glory. The kingdom has come. But we also see the not yet of the kingdom in this same passage. For everything, it says, not everything has been subjected to Him. Not yet. Not yet. Not yet. 1 John 3, verse 2. Dear friends, now we are children of God. And what we will be, future, What we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, future, we shall, future, be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So again, we see and we have the now of the kingdom of God, the now of our faith. We are the children of God. We've been transformed. We've been changed. We are now children of God. It's happened. We're children of God through Christ Jesus. We are now children of God. But we also see the not yet. That we have a future that's coming. A future. We're children of the King, but we must wait to see the fullness of exactly what this all entails. And it's glorious. The not yet is glorious. As awesome as the now is, and it's awesome, and it's a blessing, and it's a privilege to live in the now of the kingdom, the not yet, oh my. That should get you up in the morning like, is today the day? Come on, make the not yet now, Jesus, come back. The not yet of the kingdom. It frustrates some people, but don't let it frustrate you. It should excite you. Because you got the now and the not yet. It's like the best of both worlds. It really is. It is. Today we're going to look at the other side of the coin, that not yet side of faith. We're going to look at the reality that we live in a world that's still broken. How many of you can say, yeah, the world's still broken? It's still broken. It still hurts. Frankly, it just stinks sometimes. You know what I'm saying? It's just no good sometimes. But living in the broken world, we can remind ourselves that there's more to come. There's more to come. How many of you know it? There's more to come. I'm going to have you do something that seems kind of corny, but I just feel like I'm supposed to tell you to look to your neighbor and say there's more to come. Because I think there's some people in this room, there's some of you in this room that need to be reminded that there is more to come. There really is. The world hurts, but there's more to come. There's more to come. And the more to come is Jesus. Jesus is coming back. There is more to come. His name is Jesus. I know, but we keep crying out. And I'm guilty of this. I raise my hand. I do this a lot when I preach. I raise my hand just to kind of let you know I'm been there, done that, maybe doing it right now type thing. You know, but as Christians, we understand there's more to come. You just reminded yourselves of that. But we also find ourselves saying these things. I want it. I want it now. I want the more to come right now. God, I want it now. I want my spiritual cake and I want it now. I want it now. I want it now. Sometimes we sound like whiners even to the Lord, right? I want it now. I want it now. I don't want to wait. I want all you have for me. God, I want it all right now. And I want to first of all say this. That's okay. In fact, I think that's a good thing. If you didn't want more of God, I think that'd be a problem. That'd be a problem. But I also believe what the Lord would want to answer you with as you're saying, I want it and I want it now. I believe his answer to us is, I appreciate your enthusiasm, church. I really do appreciate your enthusiasm, but be patient. After all, I've been really patient with you. Really patient. You know what I'm talking about. This is God talking right now, not me. I've been patient with you. Be patient. Be patient. The fullness of my kingdom is coming. It's coming in my perfect timing, and it won't be late. I'm coming right on time. The whole cake is coming. The whole cake is coming, but you gotta wait for it. Wait for it. In fact, not waiting and not looking long term can get us in trouble. We start getting antsy. Remember Saul, what he did? He didn't want to wait for Samuel to come and do the blessing and all that. And so it was getting late, and he didn't wait anymore. He didn't want to wait anymore, so he took it upon himself, and it all fell apart. Not only did he lose his kingdom, but he lost his life because he didn't want to wait and let it roll out God's way. I think of Abraham. He didn't wait. He had the promise. He had the promise, but he didn't wait, and he had Ishmael. He didn't wait for God to do it His way. I was reminded of this quote. It goes this way. It says, patience is a virtue. Possess it if you can. Found seldom in a woman and never in a man. But that's not talking about us in here. That's not talking about anybody in here, woman or man in here, because here's the deal. Because we have patience, because patience is a fruit of the Spirit. And we walk not by flesh any longer. So this statement, this little quote doesn't pertain to us, because we are born again and we're walking by the Spirit that gives us patience, gives us something we never had before. We can walk in patience and we can wait for it. And we can wait for Him. And we can wait for His way, His kingdom to roll out His way in His perfect timing. God's given us all we need for life, for patience, and for godliness. We got what we need. We got to wait and look long term. I'm going to tell you a story. Some of you have heard this before, but I was reminded of it as I was pulling this together. I actually just reminded of this yesterday. I was looking over my notes again. And let me tell you a story about me not waiting. And so I was like 8th grade, 9th grade, right around there, about Ben's age. And it was kind of cool. I was seeing guys wearing these gold chains, you know, these gold necklaces, you know, that were kind of tight up here, you know. They didn't hang low like they do today, you know. But they were tighter chains, gold chains, thick ones up here. And I'm like, that's pretty cool. I'm like, that is cool. I want one of those. And the problem was, not that I wanted one, the problem was that I went about getting it the wrong way. See, I didn't want to wait for like my birthday or Christmas. I didn't even want to ask for one because I figured if I ask for one, it's probably too expensive and I wouldn't get one. But I wanted one now. I want the gold chain and I want it now. So I had this brilliant plan. I was like 13, 14 years old, maybe 15. Probably not 15. I was smarter by 15. I had this brilliant plan. I don't have to wait for it because my mom has a really nice thick gold necklace. Now, the only issue is when I put it on, it hangs down too low, kind of like a women's necklace. But I can shorten that thing, and then I will be all that. You know what I'm saying? I will be all that. And so I took it upon myself. I'm not a jeweler, but I like to tinker with things. I cut out a section of that gold chain, pulled it back together the best I could, and I had my gold chain. I didn't have to wait for it. I had it right then and there. But then I realized I can never wear this thing because if I ever put it on and my mom ever sees me with it, I'm dead, right? I mean, it's over. So it's just it's a picture. And by the way, they finally found out that I did this. I had to confess later, and they found out, and I didn't die. I'm here today and all that. And I grew up. I'm a little bit smarter now. But the deal is this, is when we don't wait, we're not going to even get what we wanted. I didn't wait, and I had the gold chain, but I couldn't even wear it. Saul didn't wait. He didn't get what he wanted. Abraham didn't wait. We got to wait for it. Long-term thinking. Here's another thing. When we don't understand the not yet, it can cause us to wrongly judge God. We can judge God based on what we're seeing, our perception, what we're seeing right now. That's not a good thing to do. Judging God based on what we're seeing. We start thinking things like, God doesn't love me because I'm still going through that hard season of life. And I've been praying for months, maybe years. I don't even know if God remembers who I am. Maybe I've done something really wrong and maybe God's given up on me. I don't know, man. Is God still out there? Because I've been praying for my child for years and years and years and they're still being stupid. They're still being stupid. Still being stupid. It's been years. God, are you there? I've been praying for a healing for a long time, and I'm seeing other people get healed, but I'm not getting healed. And we start judging God based on what we're seeing right here and right now. Sorry, I used the S word earlier, by the way. S-T-U-P-I-D, that word. I'm sorry about that. Are we okay, baby? All right. All right. Here's the reality, is this world isn't our home. Praise God. This world is not our home. And so we're not going to get our inheritance, our full inheritance right here and right now. We're not going to experience the fullness of all that God has for us right here and right now. In fact, the bodies that we're living in are just a temporary shell that we're inhabiting, but will ultimately be exchanged for resurrected bodies. There's more to come. There's more to come. There's a not yet that we can remain excited about. There's more to come. Our ultimate inheritance is Jesus and the fulfillment of His promise that He's coming back. And so we look long term. We look long term. There's more to come. So faith that waits looks long term. And a faith that waits also hurts. That's point number two. Faith hurts. I was putting this together and I wrote that as the second one. I said, can I do that? And I'm like, well, it's real, right? This is reality right here. Faith hurts. We got to look long term. And it hurts sometimes to walk by faith. It hurts to do things God's way sometimes. Let's look back at Scripture here. Going all the way to the end of chapter 11, verse 35. Says, women receive back their dead, raised to life again. Praise God, kingdom now, right? Happening right now. Others, though, they were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. These are the people of God, the faithful, those walking by faith, brothers and sisters in the Lord who love Jesus and who are loved by Him. Living by faith doesn't mean that we're going to have a life. It doesn't guarantee that we're going to have a life of comfort, a life of peace, a life of prosperity. It's actually contrary to that reality, is what we find in Scripture. Is that faith will often hurt. Faith will hurt. And we could raise our hands in this room and said, been there, done that. I've experienced that. I've felt that. Faith hurts. Can we be okay with that? Big boys and girls, faith hurts. It hurts. I played football in high school. I knew I was a football player because, look at that. Look at that guy. They actually had color photography back then. It's amazing. That was amazing. The one on the right's the current Mount Vernon Rams right here. This is old school back in the day about 4 years ago. No, anyway, that was 1985. Anyway, I played football. And I knew I played football because I got hit and I got hurt. That's how you know you play football. You get hit and you get hurt. During the Illinois High School State Playoffs, we went undefeated through the regular season. We won the conference. We were in the playoffs. We were playing a playoff game in Belleville, Illinois. And it was late in November in Illinois. Outdoor, late November, Illinois. And it was a cold, drizzly rain that night on a Friday night football game. I'm on the kickoff return team. And I was tight end, so I wasn't like a receiver, so I wasn't the guy who was going to ultimately catch the ball. But if the kicker kicked it short, you know, I had some hands so I could catch it and run with it. But my main job was to block for the return, right? And so the kick goes over my head, and I look back and start running back to set myself up to block for our returner. And right before I turn back around to start blocking, one of the other players on the kickoff team cold cocks me, hits me as hard as he can, running full speed, and puts me on the ground. It was like 30 degrees outside. It was freezing cold. I hit so hard, I know I got a concussion. I know that's what it was now. I didn't know about it back then. You know, I was on the ground for a little while. Everything was spinning. Didn't know where I was. Got up. I made my way to the sidelines. And the coach said, "What are you doing here, Jones? Get back out on the field." And so you got to do what the coach says so you get back out on the field, right? The reason I knew I was playing football that night is because I got hit and I got hurt. That's what happens when you're a football player. You get hit and you get hurt. That's how you know you're actually on the team and on the field doing something. You get hit and you get hurt. And if you live for Jesus, church, if you're his witnesses, if you are actually willing to go out and love like Jesus, talk like Jesus, look like Jesus, put yourself on the line like Jesus put himself on the line, if you're actually willing to take up your cross and go with Jesus through this life, like not secret, but like really live by faith, guess what? You're going to get hit and you're going to get hurt because you're living by faith. You're living by faith. Hurt happens. Let me say it again. Hurt happens. It does. Some wrongly believe that the reason that we're experiencing suffering in this life is that we don't have enough faith. That's just flat out wrong. Nothing could be further from the truth. We don't get hurt in this life because we don't have faith. We get hurt in this life because we're walking by faith. Because we're living like Jesus. That's why we get hurt in this life. And you got to know that. When the devil's coming at you and accusations are made and things are happening and things are falling apart, right in the middle of you stepping out to do what the Lord has called you to do, stepping out by faith, going deeper with Jesus and sticking your neck out in your neighborhood more for Jesus, and then it's like, boom, you're getting hit with things. You're not getting hit with things because you've done something wrong. You're getting hit because you've done something right because you're on the field. You're on the field. I'll tell you this, I get hit a lot. I get hit a lot. You don't need to send me cards saying, "Oh, we're so sorry, Pastor." No, it's just reality. You pray for me, though. You pray for me. Because the devil likes to mess with us when we're out on the field. He likes to hit us, and he likes to hurt us. And that's just what happens when you live by faith. See, God's Word teaches us that the suffering doesn't come because we don't have enough faith. It comes because we're living by faith. In fact, if you've never experienced hurt, if you've never been hit because of your faith, because of your faith, not because you were silly and did something wrong, you know, but if you've never been hit or hurt because of faith, man, you got to look at your life and go, am I really even on the field? I'm serious. If you work in an office and nobody's ever questioned you and said, "I don't know if you should be sharing that stuff around here. I don't know if you should be talking about that here." They're not hearing Jesus come out of your mouth and they're not responding to that, often in a very positive way. 8 out of 10 are going to be so positive. But those 20% that challenge you on it, that want to hit you on it, that want to hurt you for it, come on, man. Are you living? Are you on the field? I'm just being real. When we walk by faith, live by faith, we're going to get hit and we're going to get hurt. And that's okay. It's okay. We're not called to live a life where we're seeking peace. We're called to seek the Prince of Peace. We're called to be like the Prince of Peace. And it took Christ going to the cross to fulfill that role as the Prince of Peace. That's some serious hurt. Jesus said that there will be trouble in this world. He's talking to us. He's saying it to you right now. There will be trouble in this world, it says in the Gospel of John chapter 16. Jesus also said that those who hate him are going to also hate us. So where does the hurt come from? Where does the hit come from? Does it come from us lacking or what? No, it comes from the fact that we are identified with Christ and the world knows it. And the world knows it. This reality played out at the First Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs, Texas last Sunday. more than half the congregation murdered. Because there were Christians in church worshiping Jesus. Christians have been persecuted throughout history, and it's happening today. The Center for Studies on New Religions showed nearly 90,000 Christians were killed in 2016 for their faith. Not because they were driving recklessly, but for their faith. They were murdered, martyred, 90,000 in 2016. As many as 600 million of our brothers and sisters in Christ last year were prevented from practicing their faith through different forms of intimidation, forced conversions, bodily harm, or even death. Many of our brothers and sisters can tell you faith hurts. And they're not getting hurt because they lack faith, because they don't know how to pray, because they don't trust Jesus. They're getting hurt because they're living by faith. They're living for Jesus. They're being Jesus right where God has planted them. I want to say this. You don't have to go out looking for pain. And don't do that. We don't need to seek it out. But if, or should I say, when hurt happens, when persecution happens, we don't need to lose heart. Don't lose heart. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is eternal. Truth, faith, walking with Jesus, it all hurts. But whatever the hurt, it's temporary. And the hurt is worth it. I love that we sang that earlier today. It's going to be worth it all. The hurt is worth it. The discomfort is worth it. The light and momentary afflictions, and they're pretty light and momentary here in the West, in the United States in 2017. They really are. Oh, somebody made fun of me, or somebody, you know, threatened me that I'm going to lose my job, and it seems like a big deal, but it's not your life. And Jesus is worth it. The light and momentary afflictions that we are experiencing right now and that we will experience more as we get on the field day in and day out, they're worth it because Jesus is worth it. He's worth it. He's worth it. Our final point is, again, the title of the message. Faith waits. So a faith that waits looks long-term. A faith that waits is going to experience some hurt. And the reality is that faith just waits. Let's finish up Hebrews 11, verses 39 and 40. Scripture says, these heroes of faith were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Wait a minute. What are you talking about? They were commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us. Better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. So all these folks were commended for their faith. I want to point that out. God doesn't forget us when we walk by faith. When we're hurting because of faith. When we choose Him day in and when we take up our cross. God doesn't forget those who walk by faith. Instead, He commends us as we choose to live by faith. It's His great pleasure to commend us. And then in verse 39, none of them received what had been promised. And you're like, what are you talking about? Noah, he got on the ark and he was saved from the flood. Abraham, man, he became the father of the nations. Enoch, he was taken up to be with the Lord, man. Didn't even pass through death. Amazing. What do you mean they didn't receive what was promised? Man, they got some pretty awesome awesome promises fulfilled. They got to see some pretty amazing things. They got to be used in big, huge, epic kingdom kind of ways. But they didn't get the ultimate promise. They didn't yet receive the fullness of God's promise for them and for all of us. The fullness, the great promise, is Jesus. See, they were still looking forward to Jesus. They died and they went to heaven, still waiting, looking forward to Him coming. We live now looking back to the reality that He has come and His kingdom has already come. And we look forward then, so we look back to that He's come and that He's saved us. And we look forward to that He's coming back and He's bringing the fullness of His kingdom. See, there is a day coming when all the heroes of faith, along with all of us, all believers for all time, who have had the blessing of the now of the kingdom, of experiencing the promises of God now, of knowing Him now, will someday all together, the fullness, the whole body of Christ, all joined together, the bride of Jesus, come together and experience the fullness, Him coming down on the clouds, bringing the new heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem, the city that we're looking for. Forward to is not the city that we live in now, but it's the new city that He is bringing down from heaven when the promise is fulfilled. Jesus is coming back. We look forward to it together. All together. God isn't withholding anything. He's just saying, wait for it, wait for it, wait for it. It's going to be amazing, and you're going to all get it at the same time together when I come, when I return. God has something better for us, and together we'll have it. Charles Spurgeon, I want to give a quote of his as we close. Spurgeon says that many of them, he's talking about these heroes of the faith in Hebrews 11, many of them never received the land. Sometimes they had earthly victory. Sometimes they did not. Sometimes their faith saved them from death, and sometimes it brought them death. No matter. You hear that? No matter. They knew that God had provided something better. Church, I want to ask you to stand up as a people of God. And as we're standing, I just want you to even know that you're standing because you know that God has something better. And that the better is Jesus. And that He is coming back. And He is returning. And He will make all things new. The fullness of His kingdom that is not yet will be. It is coming. It's coming. It's coming. There is more, church. And so God would say, walk by faith. Be an overcomer. Grab hold of the kingdom. Walk in the kingdom. Walk with confidence. But also be patient and wait. Wait for it. Wait for it. Wait for it. Before I close, I feel compelled to read Hebrews 13, verse 3. Hebrews 13, 3 says, remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Just want us to get in that place of prayer even right now. And I want us to remember that we have brothers and sisters even right now that are going through what we would consider hell on earth because they're walking by faith, because they're on the field that God has placed them in. Let's pray for them. Lord, we lift up our brothers and sisters, God. It's hard for us to even understand what they're dealing with and going through, but we know they are suffering and they're hurting. We lift them up to You, God, and we say that You are good. We say that Your promises will be fulfilled in their lives. We thank You that You are even commending them right now for their faith, for choosing You in the hard times. God, we just ask for your mercy to come upon them. God, for your grace to rise up within them. God, we plead for mercy over their lives because we love them and we care for them, Lord. And God, we ask that you would help us to be aware of our brothers and sisters who are hurting. God, that we would be those who make it a practice of interceding for them. And Lord, that we would be those who would also be willing to get on the field, to get hit, to get hurt, and to wait for the fullness, the promise of our Savior returning. Thank you, Jesus, that you're coming back for your church. Thank you for depositing your kingdom now with us. And we even thank you that you're bringing the fullness. You're bringing the fullness. You're bringing the fullness. There's more to come. Thank you, Jesus.